Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
America needs a tidal wave of the old-time religion.
I have sinned against you.
How dare you!
We have no need to doubt God.
The heart of Babylon is preparing the nations to receive the Antichrist.
I didn't even build that house with money from the church. I built it with money from my book.
I don't make this stuff up.
Repenting of your sin.
It is a moral issue.
They got together and swore a pact to the devil.
I just enjoy seeing people worship, praising God.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to
Believe It
or Not,
the show where we believe it.
Or maybe we don't.
Or don't. Believe it or don't. Don't believe it.
Damien, question for you.
Oh.
Are you a fan of True Crime?
The movie? Wait, is there a movie called True Crime?
I think there is.
I guess I'm not a fan of crime, so I guess no.
Okay.
But I mean, you know, the genre of true crime and like learning about it, I guess that's fun.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been kind of binging some true crime stories. And one of them kind of stood out to me, and I thought we'd talk about it. Today, it's a true crime podcast.
Whoa.
I know, right?
That's something I can't believe.
I can't believe it at all. But I thought it had some, significance, especially if, like, you grew up religious or you're kind of have some issues with some teachings of evangelicalism. So, have you heard the story of Christopher Coleman or Chris Coleman?
Is this the guy who makes the camp stoves?
It is not.
Ah, damn, then I've never heard of
it. Fun story, though. My last name being Pullman, many times when I've introduced myself, people would be like, oh, like the camp stove? And I'd be like, nope, not like the camp stove.
So are you related to this guy?
I'm not, no. I'm glad.
Oh, his name is Coleman, and your name is not Coleman.
Exactly, yeah.
Right. I never got that before.
Do you remember us talking about somebody named Joyce Meyer? Mm-hmm.
The name's familiar, yeah.
So she is a evangelical preacher, kind of on more on the charismatic, like speaking in tongues kind idea. But she doesn't, that's not really what she preaches, but that's kind of like the world she comes from. But she's more into the prosperity gospel. So, like, you give her money, you get money.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of what she teaches is more like just kind of self help stuff with God sprinkled in there.
Yeah.
One of those rich, really rich pastors. She has a $10 million jet.
Well, of course she's rich.
Yeah.
I still think that's so funny, the prosperity gospel. Yeah. Like, the best way to get money is to give me your money.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
And they're like, well, they're very rich. They're really rich. They have a huge jet.
Yeah.
Why don't I have a huge jet?
Pretty much anytime she's been asked about her money and stuff, she's like, I will not apologize for being blessed. That's just, God's blessed me and I'm not going to apologize for that. But it's like, maybe apologize for taking advantage of people.
Yeah, being a grifter.
Yeah. But she was friends with, she's friends with other pastors and stuff. And she was friends with this like co-pastor team, husband and wife team called
the only married pastor team.
Yeah, Channel 5's only married news team. yeah. She was friends with, they were named Ron and Connie Coleman. And Ron and Connie Coleman had three sons.
Ron and Connie.
That sounds like a made-up thing, but I guess my parents' name were John and Jane, so.
Well, we used to watch Ron-cons all the time on TV.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Didn't you watch a Ron-con?
Oh, I love a good Ron-con with a nice meet-cute. And
Yeah. Those are movies, that everyone should watch.
Exactly. Are Ron and Connie going to get together?
I hope so.
Well, in this case, I wish they didn't because they created this guy. But
oh shit!
Ooh, ooh. Or maybe he's innocent. They still think he's innocent. So we'll get to
or
that.
Not
or not. So yeah, Ron and Connie Coleman. They run a church called Grace Church in Chester, Illinois.
And yeah, I feel like every church always has such an unoriginal name.
Yeah, it's true.
Like, it's always like Grace or like Faith or like Our Lady of or something yeah. like that. You think they'd get like a little more creative with it.
It's true. And even like the newer churches, like for hip, cool people, they're always something like Encounter or...
Encounter.
Yeah.
I feel like that's not something that you want to have. Like, you don't want to have Encounter, really.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess you want... Maybe you want a close encounter.
Yeah, of the third kind.
Is this a church for people who believe in that Jesus was an alien?
Yeah, probably.
Do you think the story of Jesus actually was the first recorded alien visit?
Well, that's what that one church believed. What was the church? I always forget the name of it. Not church, but like cult that killed themselves when they
had yeah. But I know what you're talking about. Yeah. Do you think it's true though?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. Do you think he got probed, or do you think he was doing the probing?
Oh, he's probably doing the probing.
Right.
Because we always talk, too, about how he went up in the space elevator at the end. And
aren't they trying to build a space elevator, or that's a concept that they want to do?
I think so, yeah.
And by they, I mean our global overlords.
Our global overlords, Elon Musk.
Yeah. No, he's trying to build a tunnel for some reason.
Oh, right.
For one type of car under Las Vegas or something.
Is he? I think it was. He's such an idiot.
I don't know. It was really weird.
Yeah.
It didn't look safe to me.
Yeah, he's such a turd. So yeah, so Chris though, he grew up, you know, doing the old Christian growing up thing, speaking in tongues at a young age. And the only time he really got in trouble is when he was a teenager and he got drunk with some friends, and then when his parents were out of town.
You can't do that.
You can't do that. And he felt so guilty about it, he went and told his basketball coach that he got drunk with friends, and then I guess his parents found out. That's like the only recorded thing of like him getting in any big trouble when he was a teen.
Is that supposed to be a big deal that he felt so guilty he told his basketball coach?
Yeah, I guess so. It's in every report I saw was like that's an anecdote about how like innocent of a kid he was.
But that's such a useless anecdote.
Yeah.
I mean, you could say I was an innocent kid. I never got drunk when I was a teenager.
It's true. I didn't get drunk till I was like 24.
No, yeah, 26. But nobody's making news stories about me confessing shit to my basketball coach.
Yeah, the only thing I ever confessed to my basketball coach was that I didn't want to play basketball.
Mm-hmm. I didn't confess to my basketball coach that he had bad breath.
That's true.
Oh, man. I didn't, but I guess I did now.
But yeah, in 1997, so when he was 20 years old, he met his future wife, Sherry Ann Weiss at the time, when they were both in the Air Force in San Antonio. She was an MP and he was a Marine. Okay.
Okay.
And so they, you know, they started dating. He took her home to meet the fam, the old fam family, and the parents weren't. Like in interviews and stuff, they talk about how they weren't impressed with her. They didn't think she was anything special, which is a weird thing to say about somebody after they've...
Like they said that to her face?
Well, they said that in like interviews and stuff. Like, she was fine. Like, yeah.
Even if you thought that, why would you say that?
Exactly. And because he, you know, he's evangelical and she grew up Catholic, but also wasn't very religious at all. So they didn't like that about her. So
okay, well then say that.
Yeah, exactly.
Say like, well, we didn't really like that she wasn't our type of God lover.
Yeah, exactly. She like
don't say, well, we weren't really impressed by her. She was kind of ho hum.
Yeah.
Are they still married?
Oh no.
Oh, okay, that's, never mind. Then that makes sense.
Yeah.
Were these interviews after they broke up?
After she died, yeah.
Oh, okay, that's a twist.
Yeah. So she did convert, though, and she became, you know, an evangelical like her husband and family.
Yeah.
And then, but shortly after they started dating, they call up his parents and were like, hey, guess what? We're married. And they kind of eloped in Chicago. But it mm-hmm. turned out that she was pregnant. So they kind of had to get married in that family.
A little shotgun wedding.
Yeah. So they, you know, got married. And eventually, because his parents were friends with Joyce Meyer, and he, you know, has a background in the military, he was hired by her to work on her security team. Being a high-profile evangelical who takes advantage of people, you know, you do get some threats and stuff. And also, she's a woman pastor, and a lot of evangelicals think that's evil and wrong. So there's also, you know.
Did you really need to say a high-profile evangelical who takes advantage of people? I thought that's kind of
that's true.
A little redundant, isn't it?
Yeah.
So she hired a bodyguard for herself. Then,
yeah.
Right?
Like, yeah. She hired him to be part of the security team. And then eventually,
okay, a security team, right?
The, you know, person in charge of the security team left, and she offered him the job, and he accepted. Mm-hmm. And by this time, they had two kids. So him and Sherry had two kids, Gavin and Garrett. Two sons. It started going to his head, his new job, because he thought he was like this big deal, because he was, you know, he's making $100,000 a year. He's guarding a very famous person. He shaved his head, tried to make himself look tough. He's married, and then he starts him and the family go down to Florida for a vacation, and they meet up with one of Sherry's best friends from high school named Matera. He starts messaging her, and they start messaging each other, and a little bit of an affair starts.
Oh, but man. What a piece of shit friend.
Yeah. So they had a lot of, you know, awkward videos. And well, one time he went to...
What do you mean?
They would send like naked videos back and forth. And then...
I don't know if I'd call those awkward videos.
Oh, but he's so awkward in them. And he would send like a little love thing. And it felt like watching some of the clips and stuff, it really felt like, oh yeah, this is a guy who grew up sheltered and is trying to be edgy.
Right.
Like this is, And then he went to...
Really kind of try too hard.
Yeah, exactly. He went to Hawaii to, you know, with Joyce Meyer Ministries. And she ended up meeting him in Hawaii. They took some video together there. So according to friends, he wanted out, or especially his wife's friends, Sherry, he wanted out of the marriage, but he can't just say, oh, I want a divorce, because he was afraid that if he told her he wants a divorce, then it would be seen as his fault. So he would lose his high paying job with Joyce Meyer. Yeah. And also if, you know, it ended because he had an affair, that would also cause him to lose, you know, his job.
Because divorce is so bad in these communities, it's better to plot a murder.
Yep. That was his way of thinking. If he plots a murder, then that's better than just divorcing his wife. Basically what happened was he starts getting these threatening letters in 2008 about Joyce Meyer and how she has to stop taking advantage of people and she has to stop preaching. And, for some reason, they sent it to him.
I was going to say, why is he getting these letters?
Yeah, and it's all...
Is it because he's on the security detail?
Yeah, because he's head of the security detail. But the email address was destroychris@gmail.com.
Destroy?
Yeah, destroychris@gmail.com was where these threatening letters were coming from.
Okay.
Yeah, one of them said, tell Joyce to stop preaching the bullshit or Chris and his family will be killed. And then another one that said they were sick of Meyer's pampered ass flying all over the world. And another one that was actually left in his mailbox, or he left it in his mailbox, that said you have to say like something like, you have to say publicly that you denounce Christ or we will kill you. Like very much that evangelical persecution complex thing where it's like...
Right.
Yeah.
Obviously, he was sending these to himself to make it look like something was afoot.
Yeah. It reminded me of the episode of The Office where Michael Scott slashed everybody's tire. And then he's like, and I got the worst thing of all. I got a hate note. It was just like, you will never get together in revenge. Like, it just really felt like that same kind of thing.
Right, where all this, yeah.
But his neighbor across the street is a cop. And so he told the police, and his neighbor got involved. And what his neighbor did was set up a camera in front of his house. It's actually in his son's bedroom pointing towards the Coleman's house.
Right.
Yeah. Just to see if any sketchy people were coming by. And nobody ever did. And then one night, you know, there was a video of him playing catch with his two boys and his 11-year-old and 9-year-old boy. And the next morning, the cop got a phone call being like, hey, I promised my wife I'd wake her up in the morning, and she still hasn't responded to my phone calls. I'm just at the gym. Can you do a wellness check on her? This is May 5th, 2009. The cop went over, and all three of them were dead. His wife and his two sons are dead. With red spray paint all over the walls, with messages like, I warned you, I told you this would happen, I am watching. So he gets home and the police are all there. They determine, like, when the police were there, they were like, yeah, they've been dead for a while, like at least 3 hours, like 3 hours before he left. Sorry.
Yeah, which is nuts, because it's also like the timeline's going to be off. But also, like, why would you call your neighbor to do a wellness check if you're at the gym? Why wouldn't you just come home and check?
Yeah, exactly. Like, it was all set up. And, like, the thing is, too, is he's like, yeah, I've been calling my wife all morning, but there's no record of him ever doing that before.
So there's no record of it. The timelines are way. Has this guy, I guess he probably never has watched TV.
Yeah, probably not. He was really bad. And, like, to be head of security, too, and just, like, not know any of these things.
Yeah.
He gets home, but he doesn't, like, run up and try to figure out what happened to his family or why they're dead or, like, how they died. He just, like, he walks up to the door, they say they're dead, and he just sits down and starts crying. Like, there's no, like, real, like, trying to figure out what happened. He just, like, oh, okay, they're dead, I'll sit here. But it could be shock, you know. That's what they argued and stuff. But it's still very strange.
Right.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
The ambulance comes. They take him in the ambulance to the hospital, make sure he's okay, like, he's, because he's panicking, stuff like that. And paramedic notices scratches on his arms. So he strangled his family, and his wife fought back. So she had signs of struggle, and then he had scratches on his arm. And then as soon as he noticed that the paramedic noticed it, he started punching the gurney and like scratching his arm on the gurney, like out of like saying it's out of frustration. And he's
trying to cover him up.
And then when he gets into the interrogation room, eventually they ask him if he's cold, and apparently it was really warm in there, and he asked for a blanket, and he immediately used that blanket to like cover up his arms.
Yeah.
So he very much aware. And then he said it was from punching the gurney, and then eventually changed the story to when they said the paramedic saw it before he punched the gurney fixing the satellite dish the night before, and that's where the scratches are from.
Right.
Yeah, a lot of inconsistencies in his story. And then they start looking at his laptop and his work laptop and stuff, and find all the videos and stuff from his mistress. And the weird thing, too, in the interrogation, they're like, so you have an affair? He's like, I don't know if it was an affair. Isn't an affair more when you want to marry them? Just such a weird he's like, we were, you know, we messed up, you know, doing things we shouldn't do, but I wasn't gonna marry her or anything, which is like weird to
but that's
jump to
the
that.
Definition of what an affair is.
So a lot of inconsistencies, like the why were all the windows unlocked in his house if he had a stalker and he was a security person, like why was there no force entry,
like security measures.
Yeah. Why were they playing on the front yard the night before if he thought that somebody was after them?
I think that's some of the most fucked up part, right? Like, he made sure he had a one final catch with his kids.
It's so gross.
And then the fact that they were all strangled too, like, that's not like a quick and painless thing to do, right?
Yeah, no, not at all.
That's like such a sustained, horrible, panicked way to do it. But I mean, I guess if you're going to kill them all anyway, you don't really care. Yeah. But
and apparently, because he had been talking to this woman he was having an affair with about getting married, and she really wanted to get married. So he's like, okay, it's now or never kind of thing. And he promised her he'd leave her. Right. And then the next day he kills them. Yeah. Jeez.
How old were the kids?
9 and 11.
9 and 11?
Yeah, he's a monster. His parents still say that he's innocent, that he didn't do it. They're in complete denial. When they asked, like in some interviews, this one interview I saw, when they asked them about why, like about the affair, that they blamed his wife, they blamed Sherry, and said that she wasn't making herself available to her husband.
And
that
if
she, and then if she had been more available to her husband, he wouldn't have cheated. But just because he cheated, that doesn't mean it was him who killed her, kind of thing.
Right. Are they in complete denial, or are they just trying to save face for themselves?
It's hard to say, because they're still pastors at that church. That church is still going strong. So,
because that's my first thought, is that they don't necessarily not think he did it, but they kind of almost like have to be like, our son would never do that.
Yeah.
Of course not.
Yeah, and that's the thing too, because they're always like, the Chris I know would never do something like that.
Yeah, like, I don't know. It's insane how like people are so tied with these things where it's just like, no, this person did a horrible thing.
Yeah.
And it doesn't make you a bad person to admit that that's what happened.
Yeah, exactly. He's still denying it too. Like, he maintains his innocence to this day, but the evidence is overwhelming. Like, they trace all the emails back to his work computer as well, which also, like, your head of security and you don't know that they can trace where your email comes from. Like, what are you doing?
Right.
Yeah, so they're all sent from his work computer.
Did they never check the scratches on his arms either? Or, what's like, that? The wife? Did they never check the scratches?
Yeah,
on
and
his
it was
arm
him. There was some inconsistent DNA that they couldn't use as evidence, which was, it was to the point where it was him, but it just wasn't a full sequence. Like, it was obvious that it was him, but it wasn't admissible in court. And his argument is that, see, there was somebody else's DNA in there. It's like, no, it's your DNA, but
So he was convicted then?
He was convicted, yeah. So he was arrested, I think a week after he was caught. They knew pretty much right away, like immediately, that it was him. They didn't have all the evidence until... until like a week later, or a couple weeks actually. He was arrested on the 19th, so 2 weeks after. And then he went to trial, and he wasn't convicted until 2 years to the day after the murders.
I guess after the whole trial process and everything, that takes some time,
Yeah, and the jury did take a long time to decide whether or not he was guilty, because it was a lot of circumstantial evidence, but still a lot of evidence. And what really tipped them over was that he said he started his relationship with Tara in November of 2008, but then there was photos in evidence from before that. So they're like, well, why is he lying about this one detail? Like, and not lying about everything else. Like, he's obviously hiding stuff. So,
I don't know. From everything you've told me, this seems like a real, like, just like open and shut slam dunk. Kind of like, yeah, this guy's a piece of shit and he did it.
Yeah.
It seems like, just right from the beginning, he was an incompetent security guard who just made mistake after mistake.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know.
And he had the red spray paint too, which, like, he spray painted on his son. Like, it's just so gross. They asked him in the interrogation if he owned any spray paint. He said, no, I haven't bought any spray paint for a while. But he did buy that can of red spray paint. There was a receipt at the hardware store, like, with his name on it. Like, it was under his account. For the exact same.
I mean, the fact that he was in a place where, well, I mean, there's probably multiple things. Like, I'm sure this person, like, there's probably so many different, like, I don't know, like, narcissist. He could have been psychotic or something like that, or a psychopath, or one of those. I don't fucking know what the exact definitions of what it would be. You know, it's got to be compounded by his upbringing, in the fact that it makes more sense to try and kill your whole family than it does to just leave them.
Yeah.
Like, there's something there that's just so sad and just gross.
And that's the thing, like, because I talked about on the video I made about marriage, about how evil they say divorce is and how it's just ingrained in your head that you're a bad person if you get a divorce. And just like the fact that he would feel more guilty about leaving his family than he would about killing his family. And then the fact that, like, he has a job that he would lose if he got a divorce.
Right.
And then actually after the fact, her family, Sherry's family, sued Joyce Meyer for a wrongful death and won. Yeah, because, yeah, you create an environment like that. And even in the interview with the police, like, Joyce Myers was interviewed by the police and she said, yeah, like, if he divorced because he had an affair, then we would let him go. If she divorced him, then we probably wouldn't let him go.
So why? Okay, I guess I don't really understand. Why is divorce such a bad thing as far as the church goes? Like, what is their justification for it?
Because according to the Bible,
right,
marriage is like God ordained or whatever. And it's also a symbol of Christ and the church. It's supposed to be like our relationship with God is mirrored in our relationship with our spouse, and it's a sacred institution. If you break it, then it's like you're breaking your covenant with God. It's like this whole it's culty bullshit. It's like,
yeah, that's what it sounds like.
Yeah,
yeah, it's like expecting, like, well, if you don't get it right the first time, then you're wrong and that you're broken.
Yeah.
And you have to keep doing this even if you're miserable, even if you're hurting the people around you. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. They would much rather people be miserable than break any of their rules.
Is it just like another way to try and, like, keep people more reliant on the community of the church?
Yeah, I think so. I think a lot of it is just keeping people in the fold and keeping people from questioning their teachings and stuff like that. Like, if you create an environment where people are miserable and need help, and you're also saying, I'm the one who gives that help.
Do you think it also had something to do with, like, more of treating women as property as well?
Yeah, I think so.
Because I'm sure for a long time the men didn't give a shit and they were doing whatever. And it was just more to keep the women as subservient and.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Fucking gross.
Yeah, it is fucking gross. And this whole thing just, like, yeah, it just shows how toxic it can get, this kind of teaching, where it's like, yeah. And it's so heartbreaking too, like, just these wonderful kids, wonderful woman, and then he's like, I want to bang your best friend, so I have to kill you. Like, it's just awful.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go on the record and say I don't like this guy.
Yeah, I don't like him either. Mm-mm. And Trev, if you ever have an affair with my wife,
we'll see. Like, you're ever gonna get married?
Well, I mean, by the way things are going, then that would mean that my wife would have to kill me. So
that's true.
If you ever had an affair with my wife, I would be dead.
Yeah,
and then you would look like a silly boy.
I would look like a silly boy.
Because not only would you no longer have a friend, you'd probably be in jail.
That's true. It's true. Mm-hmm. Speaking of putting people in jail, should we thank our patrons?
Put them in jail.
Oh, my God. Wow. Thank you so much.
Oh,
wow.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to our Bible study. You know, we're still studying it. We're studying this little book.
You'd think after all these years of reading the same book over and over again, we would, we would come to some, understanding. Mm-hmm. But it seems like we haven't yet.
Like, so now we're studying the biblical story about when the young Goldilocks went into the house, and it turned out the house was owned by bears. And I forgot that was in the Bible.
We all know the moral of that story is that homeowners should be allowed to use lethal force on trespassers.
But we got some people to thank, don't we?
That's true, we do. Today we'd like to thank Ominous Warning and Isolde. I hope I'm saying that right. And Shara.
Thank you so much. And I have a very special thank you for Katie, but I also have a very special prayer request for Katie. It's getting warmer out, and Katie is lucky enough to have air conditioning and a pool, and has yet to invite me over to cool off in the pool, and then afterwards hang out in front of the AC unit. So it's only courteous to do so, but Katie, we lift Katie up in prayer, hopefully that there's a non-sinister reason for why this hasn't occurred yet.
Yeah, Katie, if all the pastors out there have shown you have to spend money to make God money.
Amen.
So share that pool, share that AC, and we'll be over next weekend.
We'll be there. Thanks, Katie. Thank you, all of you.
Can't you see you're not making Christianity better? You're just making rock and roll worse.
Should I guess the lyrics?
Yeah, that's a good idea.
The Lord has come. He is here. His heart is full. My intention's clear. God is good. God is good. Yada, yada, yada.
Yep. Well, okay. So this band is called Casting Crowns, and they do have many songs that are very much like you described. But this one is a little different. This one is about marriage.
It's
called Broken Together, because nothing Christians love singing about more than being shitty people. So,
well, that's the other thing too, right? They want everyone to feel like they're broken, so they need to be fixed, right? Yep.
Exactly. And the song goes, "What do you think about when you look at me? I know we're not the fairy tale you dreamed we'd be. You wore the veil, you walked the aisle, you took my hand, and we dove into a mystery. How I wish we could go back to simpler times before all our scars and secrets were in the light. Now all this hallowed ground, we've drawn the battle lines. Will we make it through the night? It's going to take much more than promises this time. Only God can change our minds." And then it goes on about how much their marriage sucks, but God can make it better. Yeah.
At first, it kind of just like, when we got married, you didn't know, but I tricked you. Now you hate me. I know that's not the intention. It's obviously just like, things are bad now because we know all this stuff.
Yeah.
What do you think of that, idiot?
Well, that's the thing too. Yeah, it's that classic, like, you know, they probably play this at like a marriage retreat or something like that, of like just these failing marriages that you have to do everything you can to fix, when it's like sometimes it's just not fixable.
Yeah.
But what do I know? I'm just one guy.
What? I guess my thing is like, why would you think that a pastor would be good for marriage advice?
Yeah, that's the thing too, is they always go to their pastor for premarital counseling too. And
like, what qualifications do they actually have?
I mean, yeah, they probably took a couple counseling classes, and like maybe if they went for their master's, they took like a few.
Maybe
more.
They did. Yeah. Maybe like maybe like in the last like 15 years they did, but I doubt for a long time they ever did before. Do you think they did?
Yeah, probably not. I mean, I took Psych 101. Which according to Britta on Community makes her a psychologist, but I took Psych 101 and I took,
I took Psych 101.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not qualified for this shit.
I think I took developmental psych, and then I took, like counseling, like a kind of a one-on-one counseling kind of class, but
yeah, I don't think taking three classes makes you qualified to be a good marriage counselor.
No, I do not think so. And then, yeah, sometimes too the pastor's wife will do it. It depends on the church too, and like.
So and then what is she? What is she qualified in?
Well, maybe.
What?
Hey, women can do anything.
No, that's fine, but she's not qualified to do it.
Right. I ended up on the wrong side of TikTok last night.
Uh oh.
I made a TikTok where this it was like a stitch with this guy who. It was like a gender reveal party, which they're their own bullshit. But like, he just like went, "Oh no!" when it turned out it was a girl in front of his two daughters.
Oh no!
And then I made a stitch like, "Well, I hope she becomes a better person than him." And then all these guys are like, "It's okay to want a boy." It's like, yeah, it's true, but like, don't be a douche about it.
Yeah, Yeah. You said the quiet part out loud.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But yeah, that's
just like, I mean, I guess it's okay to want a boy or girl, but at the same time, it's just like, it's your fucking kid. What does it matter what they are?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, yeah. be a parent and be a fucking adult.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Stupid.
You guys stupid people. This mess. Yeah. But yeah. Any other thoughts for today?
Yeah. Don't kill your wife and kids.
Yeah.
That's about it.
I agree. And keep your stick on the ice.
Yeah.
And you, everybody have a wonderful Sunday.
Love you.
Bye.
Work, 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 Sky Moon.
This podcast has been brought to you by the Sonar Network.
Sonar!
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.